Welcome to PCMC. I'm Mike Bongiorno. Today, my guest is Anthony Montantine. He was here not that long ago talking about anime with me. That was just a sort of, that was an introduction to anime for me. But I wanted to invite Anthony back because I wanted to talk about My Hero Academia.
So excited.
Anthony, how have you been, first of all? How have you been?
I am doing fairly okay. I'm very tired, but that's just because I had a lot on my plate recently. Yeah, I'm pretty good.
Well, what's been on your plate? Let's talk about your output.
Okay, so as of a few days, almost a week ago, it'll be Sunday, that'll be a week. I put out a song called Tight Jeans. It's like the transitional song that I've been talking about for months. I finally was like, you know what? Now is the time to drop it. And then I had a remix done to it already. It's almost done. Thank you, Matt, if you ever hear this. And then I'm working now to get a music video for that, recording the next song, and then figuring out another day to release the next song that I already recorded with Tight Jeans.
Fantastic. I listened to Tight Jeans, and I very much loved it.
I'm so happy.
I really liked its vibe. I'm not a huge music guy, but and this is not an insult. It hit me like something from the 90s. It reminded me of high school a little bit, and I'm mad old.
That's all I really wanted, is that I wanted that sense of nostalgia from the song. So I want everyone to listen to it and be like, oh, whoa, wait a minute. Am I in high school again? What radio station am I tuned into? This is good.
That's awesome. Hey, listen, if you'd be interested, I would love to throw Tight Jeans on the end of this episode.
Yeah, what the?
You're down. Yes.
That'd be totally
cool. I don't
know.
You might be like, sure, cool. You might be like, nah, man, that's going to cost you a little bit of money. So, you know.
Imagine, listen, that's going to cost you a pretty penny if you need to stick and clip of my song at the end of your podcast. No, totally, man. I would love that.
All right, man. My Hero Academia. Holy shit. Let me just come out the. I've got. All right. All right. I'm already too excited.
Quick question. You went through both movies in all four seasons.
That's right.
Goddamn.
Currently, as we record this, season 5 is beginning to air, but I am not watching it.
I have not watched it either. I have been waiting to do this podcast to then watch it afterwards to text Mike and be like, did you fucking see this?
I don't even think I'm going to do that because I have fallen head over heels in love with the English-speaking cast. And to me, mm-hmm. they are who these characters are.
They're your headcanon. They're this is what they sound like.
Right. So I'm kind of living in a world where I've thought about it fuck, maybe I should watch it. But then I'm also no, let me wait. So it feels legit in my head of the characters that I know. But then there's also spoilers always. So it's a weird world.
Very hard. Very hard, especially with new anime. I'm currently watching Jujutsu Kaisen in English, and it drops every Friday. But the season's already over, but the English voice actors are still pushing out episodes.
Right, it takes longer. You know, that's the thing is, My Hero Academia season 5 is happening now, coming out both in Japan and in America. But if you want the English dub of it, which I'm not, we talked about this last time you're on. I'm not I'm not some Philistine. I don't mind I don't mind a subtitled one, but it's I feel whichever one you start with, you have to stick with.
Yeah, it definitely feels that way. I started My Hero in English, but I was so hyped about season 4 that I watched it and subbed all the way through. And then I went back and watched it in English.
So will you watch 5, the subtitled 5?
I think
four episodes in or something.
We're 3 to 4 episodes in, and I honestly will. I am one of those people that I like to stockpile my shows and then binge one day and then wait and then stockpile again and binge the next half.
Well, My Hero Academia is a super bingeable show, I think.
Oh, yeah.
And we'll talk about why in a second. So let's say up front, spoiler alert, for My Hero Academia season 1 through 4 and the 2 currently released My Hero Academia movies, My Hero Academia 2 Heroes and My Hero Academia Heroes Rising. 50% of those movies are good.
Oh my God.
I know, I'm a true fan now because there's shit that I'm fuck this, I hate this. But
yeah.
But Actually, I'm so excited because really, all right, bold statement right out the gate.
Oh, man.
I think this is the best superhero thing ever. This is the best superhero thing I've ever seen, period. Better than anything Marvel's ever done or DC's ever done. This is
incredible. Agree with you. I can agree with you on that because of one simple fact, is that they are kids learning how to use their powers, and every power, even in the adults, has a nerf of some kind, has some type of drawback. Like, oh, I can't use my power this much because this will happen. Whereas in like majority of like superhero movies, it's like unlimited power.
Right.
And they're kind of already born knowing how to use this power, or like they kind of wiggle their way to figuring it out, and all of a sudden they're a fucking master. Where these kids are going through like 4 years of training and still have some shit to work out because now they have to go through like a hero agency to get more training.
Right. The world is really, the world building is incredible, but it's not just world building because the character development is incredible. It really feels like they fleshed out and mapped out what would a world really be like with people like this, and how would it actually work? How would the economy work? How would law and order work? Like, it really...
Right, there's laws and shit. Like, they really thought about, like, listen, like, if there was a superhuman society, there'd be rules, regulations, costs, fucking, like, there'd be... And this is, like, the only, like, thing with superheroes where they really talk about human casualties, people that are worthless.
Yeah. So what we're going to do, because there's so much story, I guess we'll start with like just a little general of like what the show is. And then we'll kind of, I want to go into the characters because it's really all about the characters are a part of the show. And it's got a huge cast. I actually have a cheat sheet with me of all the characters because I don't want to forget anybody. And it's also complicated because every character has a name plus their superhero name. Plus often main characters have nicknames that people call them, or sometimes the main characters are called by their last names by like the teacher. So it's like the main character, you can call him a million different things. The main character's superhero name is Deku, but he is also Azuzu. His last name is Midoriya, and a lot of people just call him Midoriya. And it's like
young Midoriya.
Yeah. So it takes place in the not that distant future. I think it's like 2050, 2060, maybe it's 2070, something like that.
I'm going to say like 2050. I could be wrong, but I'm going to say 2050.
Yeah, and the first like superhuman is born. He's just a baby that glows. He's a glowing baby.
Shiny ass, bright light baby, just being like, I can do this.
Yeah, and from then on, people are born with these things that in the English show, they call them quirks. And your quirk is basically your superpower. But even that's not exactly right. Because at the point of the show where the show begins, 80% of people have quirks. And your quirk could be something like, I make coffee from my finger. Like, your quirk could be completely useless. But for those...
You could be lame as shit, or like, you could be really fucking cool. It really depends on the genetics that you were given from your parents. So,
right. Your parents can combine... And like your power could be a combination of your parents or one of your parents or something entirely different.
The strangest mech anime I've ever seen in my life.
And then there's 20% of people that are fucking quirkless.
A fucking hazard when you really think about it.
Right.
Imagine being like, yeah, I'm just my name's like fucking Joe and I own a coffee store. Oh, coffee store is gone now because a gigantic swamp monster killed, like ran through my glass window and ate all my fucking furniture and beans. Right. Like what?
Yeah. So for those people who have quirks that are useful in combat or just useful in general, some of them become heroes, like superheroes, and some of them become villains. And villains are just criminals that use their quirks for crime. But heroes are not just like superheroes like you see in most American superhero shit. In this world, like, you have to have a license to be a superhero. You have to be trained to be a superhero. They actually have a billboard chart of the superheroes that rank them.
It's like Billboard's Hot 100 Heroes. It's the weirdest shit, but like...
But then there are some heroes that aren't even that good as heroes, but like do commercials and do movies and are just like celebrities. And it's just, so it's just, this world has totally adapted to that there are heroes. And the cops work with the heroes and there are government agencies.
Right. It's not like some Batman shit where like he's a vigilante, But like, they're genuinely partnered with the police. They're basically special ops, if you really think about it.
Right. They'll be, you know, you see a couple times in the show, like, they'll be like, all right, we got to do this mission. And the cops are with you. But, you know, this guy, you can do this. You can lock things in time. Well, then you go up front. And when we see these villains, you stop them cold. Or you can turn shit into ice. You, all right, we're going to use you for this.
Right, everyone is, like, they get called in, so there's agencies, like, there are separate agencies all around, like, the city, all around that country. So, depending on the events that are happening, a certain agency, like, let's say, like Mike said, like, something's on fire, or something needs, like, help, they'll call agency where they know they have a hero that can use water, or use ice. Like, it's all really flushed out to, like, how it would be, like, if we say, as, like, right now, for some reason, people are just out of nowhere born with superpowers. This is kind of how I think they would try and regulate it.
Right.
But I think there'd be a lot more casualties.
Yeah. And yeah. And there is they have sidekicks, but sidekicks, it doesn't just mean you're the sidekick like Batman and Robin. A sidekick is literally like a training tool in the trade of superheroes. Like a major superhero will have a series of sidekicks throughout their career as they train them. All right, let's get into the main character, our main guy.
Mr. Izuku Midoriya, a.k.a. Deku.
Deku. Izuku Midoriya is... Oh, shit, maybe we should start with All Might.
Should we start with All Might? You know what? Yeah, for the sake of the story, because he's the first one you see every time you open up this, like, you start the show, he's the first thing you see besides that light bright baby.
Yeah.
Yeah, so let's start off with All Might and Mr. Toshinori.
Fucking love All Might. I love All Might so with all my heart.
Really? Okay. So my question is, how did you feel about that first scene where, you know, he goes from All Might to All Right, you know?
Well, you know, I'll get to that in a second because that's a great question. But I actually think I might have even more love for his non-super form.
Yes. Okay.
All Might. Yeah.
I also feel that way. He's just a dad. When you really break him down to his, like, his...
Major daddy energy.
Oh, my God. I love him. So, like, in dad form, he's just dad jokes, dad shoes. Like, I'm here. Hi.
Yeah. Yeah. So, All Might is Superman for basically. And I'd say that this show is really unique. There's only three or four characters that I could think of that their powers are similar to powers in, like, DC and Marvel. And All Might's one of them, and it's just because he's Superman, and he's the number one hero. He's ranked the number one hero, and he's action figures, he's toys. Like, kids are fans of him. All Might's like the best. All Might's catchphrase is "I'm here,"
which just pulls out to all. I am here.
He always smiles. He does everything with a smile, and he's a good. He's the goodest guy. He's forthright. He's nice. He's Japanese, but there's something very American about him. When he does his special moves, are all named after American states, like Detroit Smash.
Detroit Smash. When I first heard that, when I watched the show, I was like, this is sick. Hell yeah.
And All Might is the greatest. So All Might, I guess by the beginning of the show, he's been the number one guy for like maybe 20 years or so. He's kind of middle-aged. And our main character, Izuku Midoriya, Deku, is like his biggest fan. He loves him. He's loved him ever since he was a little kid. He watches his shit on YouTube 24/7. In his bedroom, he's got all my figures and all my fucking models posters. And all my posters. And he's just, and like many little kids, he wants to grow up and be a hero just like All Might. But then when he's like 5 or 6, because a lot of people, their quirk doesn't manifest until they're 5 or 6 or so. He goes to the doctor, and the doctor's like, "I'm sorry, but you don't have a quirk."
The doctor hits him with a hard nope.
Yeah, he's like, "Nope, sorry." It's heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking for young Midoriya.
This is the first time I ever, like, not first time ever, I've watched Neon Genesis, but I first saw that scene, because it's heartbreaking, because literally, like, 10 minutes before this, you see Izuku rocking back and forth in his chair, his desktop computer. He's watching that scene where All Might's saving, like, thousands of people in, like, 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And then they cut to the doctor's, like, "You're not going to have a quirk." and you see just all of the life drained from Izuku's eyes. Yeah. And then the next scene is him back at the desktop watching the rescue again. And he looks at his mom and asks, "Mom, can I still be a hero?" And his mom just says, "I'm sorry." And he's
crying.
It hurts. It hurts, man.
I know. I love his mother. I think his mother's a good mother.
Oh no, yeah, she's great.
That's the move you make. What are you gonna you know? Because let's be honest, how can you be a hero without a quirk? Even though he decides he's gonna do it anyway.
She's rational, right? And I don't hate her for being rational. Like, I don't hate her at all. I think she's the sweetest little being, especially when she's older and she's like a little short and like chubby. I'm like, I love you.
Yeah, in the flashback, she's thinner, and then in the future, she's a little chubbier, which I love. No, she is great, and she loves him and cares about him. But she kind of is like, you know, don't worry, you'll still have a good life.
Mm-hmm.
But he's upset. But he's a fanboy. He's obsessed with heroes to the point where like he like writes down. He has all these notebooks where he makes notes on their moves, and like he really studies the shit.
Which in reality, if you just hooked Izuku up, like let's say he never met All Might. If you hooked Izuku up with enough, he'd support be a formidable. Yeah, support gear. He'd be like a formidable hero.
Yeah,
because he studies, like he understands fight tactics and all that, and battle planning.
Right,
like,
right.
Take away like the insane like strength. He's brilliant.
Yeah, yeah. No, he is. He's kind of like, maybe this is a weird comparison. He's like Rocky, like where Rocky's not a great boxer. Or that smart. Well, actually, Midoriya's smart. He's actually very smart. But Rocky's not a great boxer. He just has heart and determination. And that's kind of like what Midoriya is. He doesn't have a quirk, but he's so in his heart, like, I'm going to fucking do it. Like, he never gives up. He's so dedicated to it. And that's why he stands out to All Might. One day after school, Midoriya is attacked by, like, some blobby kind of monster thing. And
blood monster.
All Might shows up to save him. And he freaks out because this is All Might. This is his hero. This is, you know, they call him the symbol of peace because just All Might existing makes crime go down because people are just inspired by him.
Right. And because him being the symbol of peace, crime goes down. It makes a lot of villains terrified to even like set foot in the light of day and just be like, you know what? Maybe this villain stuff ain't for me. Maybe I could just, you know, go be a regular civilian. I'm good. I can deal without this.
So yeah. All Might, Midoriya freaks out on All Might, and All Might is like, I gotta go. And he's like, oh, come on, I want to talk to you. And then, big shocking moment, he's sort of in like a puff of smoke. All Might goes from the image that he knows him to be to this skinny, sunken-faced, disheveled guy.
Kind of sickly looking.
Who's coughing up blood.
Constantly,
and,
that's
my yeah. I know girl. It's like a joke, and Midoriya is like, "What the fuck?" And he's like, "All right, well, since you've seen this, I'll tell you the truth. I got injured 5 years ago, and I'm really sick, and I can only be a superhero for like 5 hours a day, and then for the rest of my life, this is what I really look like."
And that comes to as a shocking revelation to young Midoriya.
Yeah.
Because he's in front of his hero that doesn't look like his hero anymore. But he still is like, this is still All Might to me. I still see this as All Might. And he asks him, All Might, I am a quirkless boy.
Yeah.
Can I still be a hero? And All Might says no.
Right.
It's a very dangerous world out here. You're better off on the police force if you really want to be in like saving people. But if you want to be a hero, you need to have a quirk.
Heartbreaking.
Even shoots him further down the hole. Oh man, Deku was one more like no away from turning into a villain. I say that all the time.
yeah, heartbreaking. And then through some twist of fate, another monster, or maybe it's the same monster. I think it's the same monster. Attacks his classmate Bakugo, who's we'll get to him later. He's another major character, and he's actually like they've known each other their whole lives, but he's actually basically like Midoriya's bully.
Yeah.
But when Bakugo is in trouble, there are some cops there that can't do shit. There are some minor league heroes there that are getting their asses kicked. All Might's there, but he can't use his powers, so he just can't do anything. And Midoriya, this kid with no quirk, runs at the monster to try to save his bully, basically, because he still cares about him.
Yeah, and Midoriya's mind, Bakugo is still his best friend. That's his.
Yeah.
And in Midoriya's mind, that's his rival and best friend. He's like, I'm not going to let you die. He runs. It's almost, first of all, the framing of that shot of him running through the crowd is beautiful because he's frantically crying. Yeah. He doesn't know what he's doing. He's running at a monster. He knows he can't do anything. Throws his backpack. Books fly out, hit the monster in the face. He starts ripping at the sludge, trying to get Bakugo out. And that inspired All Might to be like, you know what? I can do this. So he puffs up and hits this Detroit Smash, changes the weather.
Yes.
Destroys the sludge monster, changes the weather. It saves Midoriya and Bakugo.
Yes.
That beautiful scene.
And this is the big inciting incident because he approaches Midoriya and tells him a secret. He says, listen, my power was actually handed down to me. I was born quirkless. And I have a special superpower that's called One for All. And because I'm sick, I need a successor. And because of what I saw you do, because I saw you run when everyone else is running the other way, I know that you are in your heart a real hero. And I'm going to make you a hero and I'm going to give you my power.
Cut to Izuku Midoriya wheezing on the floor, just dying out of joy and excitement and just emotion and just tears in old anime fashion that looked like water that was balled up out in space, just pouring down his face, snot and all. I was like, yes, this is what I need to see. Yes.
It's beautiful. And that moment ends up, it's flashed back to a lot throughout the series because it's a huge turning point for the character. And I think that's the end of the first episode. That's the pilot. That's it. Yeah, you too can be a hero. He speaks kind of like Superman too. Like when he's in his All Might bigness, he's like, I am here, young Midoriya. You too can be a hero.
Deep bellowing voice that you're just like, I can, whatever he just said I can do it.
Yeah.
It's such a, Chris Sabat's voice is just a feel good voice. And he's like, I've seen interviews with him talking about voicing All Might. He's like, he's my favorite. He's my favorite character to voice just because he's not just, I think what I like about All Might too is that he does have that Superman personality, but not all the time.
No, right. Well, when he turns into his other self, I might like that one more because, I mean, like, to be personal for a second, like, I deal with anxiety and depression and shit like that. And I think sometimes it's very hard to show the world your weaknesses or your vulnerability. So I think when he is, you know, the smaller, sicker version of All Might, I think that's very brave. I don't know. I think it takes a lot to just be like, yeah, I know you thought of me as this superhero and here I am sick.
Right. A lot of the first two seasons are him hiding that fact that he can't be the symbol of peace 24/7.
Right.
So it felt good to just see him be like, yeah, this is me. I am injured. I am sick. But you know what? It is now. It still gives me chills because in season three, he goes into a fight. At the end of the fight, when he wins, he points at the camera and says, you're next.
Right.
It was such a wonderful moment just because it was a great moment for the entire hero community and for Midoriya himself to see that. Even though he was like panicked out of his mind watching All Might do this fight. But it was a great scene to watch because it gave everyone kind of hope in a sense.
But, you know, I find the show pumps you up a lot. See, I think why I'd say it's one of the best superhero things ever is because I think the show really understands what is good about superhero narratives. And kind of what's good about them is they are a little corny. They are a little bit black and white in terms of, you know, what it is to be good and what it is to be a hero. Whereas, you know, Marvel is, modern Marvel's too, more interested in like being kind of jokey and making fun of the whole thing. And DC is interested in just sort of being dark and gritty and kind of like, it seems like when you watch My Hero Academia, it's like golden age of comic books type characters. It's like, you guys remember why superheroes are good.
Right. And I like that it's never on... This is my thing with anime in general. I like how there's never a clear good and bad. there's always wiggle room for the gray. Like, I'd be sitting right there like, damn, this villain really spitting sense. Like, I don't know who I side with right now.
No, right. You're right. Yeah. Well, so when you're right. Like, when I say good and bad, I mean, like, the idea of, like, the heroes and the villains. But in terms of character, every character has depth. There are characters that you, like, in the beginning, like, I straight up hated. And then I'm like, Endeavor. Endeavor, I was like, I fucking hate this guy. He's an abusive piece of shit. And then by the end of season four, I'm like, I kind of like Endeavor now.
I might like this man now.
Endeavor is the number two hero. And his public image is he's kind of an asshole. And his power is fire. And he is the father of one of the main characters of the show. Because the show's all about kids. We haven't even talked about the school yet. But the show's all about kids. So we know Endeavor, up until that point, we know Endeavor is like this abusive asshole dad. And but then Endeavor at one point says to his son, like, I'm going to be someone you could be proud of. And like, then he's like putting in the work. And it's like, I went from hating him to being like, fuck, I kind of like Endeavor now.
It's hard, especially they write really good redemption arcs for like, their characters, because we spend three seasons of hating this man.
Yeah.
And there's no redeemable qualities from any of his kids. It's just bad story after bad story. With his fans, bad story after bad story. He was just like the most, I would arguably one of the most unlikable characters in the show for a while. Just because, like, I feel like it hit home for a lot of people. Yeah. Everyone, like, a lot of people have that abusive parent or that parent that's just like really just doesn't give a shit about them. So like he was like the embodiment of like that for a lot of people.
Yeah. Well, you know what? The main setting of the story, which I haven't even gotten to yet, is UA. Explain UA to the listener.
Aha! UA. UA is essentially the hero school. It's basically a high school for heroes. Mm-hmm. It is the number one ranked high school for heroes out there in the country. So it is to train young fledgling heroes, like from basically freshman to senior, how to use their quirks. How do you power up their quirks? How to make their quirks better? What costumes they should wear to like optimize their quirk use, how to have the best quirk output, what course they should be taking, what kind of hero they should be.
Internships
and like meeting other pro heroes to see where they want to go when they graduate, which is, again, this is like all high school when you really think about
it. Right. Even like usually in their third year, they take the test to get provisional licenses. And that's kind of reminded me of like the SATs.
Mm-hmm.
Cause in this world, you can't, if you use your quirk to be a hero and you don't have a license, you're a vigilante and you're breaking the law. To be a real hero, you need a license. And in the first couple seasons, like the kids will do heroic things and then the cops will be like, that's great. But we're telling the newspapers it was Endeavor because you're kids and you can't be doing this.
Right. I think there are exactly 3 to 4 instances in the show where the kids are using their quirks to be heroes. And it's sick. The scenes are awesome.
Yeah.
But I forget his name, but it's always the same police dog, the same fucking
he's beagle, a dog.
The same beagle being like, that's great, kids. So you can either take the credit and you go to jail. Or we say a pro did it and you guys can go back to school.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny you say you bring up the dog because that reminds me. One interesting thing in the show is that there's a certain most people with quirks kind of just look like everyone else. But then there's one kind of genre of quirk where you just are an animal. Like this guy's a cop, but he's a dog. Pro hero, I think number 8 on the Billboard charts is Orca, whatever, and he's like basically an orca whale that
gang
walks
orca.
Up. Yeah, yeah. So UA is like the Hogwarts but it's not hidden like Hogwarts. It's
so much in your face. Like it's regular, it's everyday shit. Like if you walk by someone that looks just so happens to look like a bird, you're like, oh, that's normal. That's a regular day.
So this is where it really expands to this huge cast of characters because there are 20 students. In Deku's class, his class is class 1A, and we start with him as a freshman. And going into his class, we know Deku, the main character, Midoriya, who was quirkless until All Might gave him his power, which he does not know how to use yet, and he fucks himself up every time he uses it.
Glass bones and paper skin.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
And so Bakugo is the other one we know. And then we meet the 18 other kids, and they all are their own interesting characters with their interesting quirks. And
they're all strong, too.
Yeah.
Like, they're all very strong. Like, it's... I also like that about the show. It's like, no one is stronger than anybody else all the way, like, all around. Like, everyone's strong in their own sense to, like, where, like, okay, their stats are more pushed towards long-range fighting.
Yeah.
Like, it's pretty balanced, I would like to say, like, Class 1A.
Yeah, and in instances where they have to fight, the writers do a really good job of, like, and I should say, I've become obsessed with the show, but I don't know anyone involved in it. I haven't, which is not like me. I don't know the creator of the show. I don't know. I keep referring to the show as itself, like an entity. But the show does a great job in, like, showing how they would work together. Because, like, there'll be somebody with a quirk that you'd be like, that's kind of a shitty quirk. But then, but if that guy hangs out with that other guy together, they have an awesome fucking quirk.
Oh, yeah. No, there's a ton of, like, combo quirks going on because everyone kind of stays in their own lane. They realize, okay, my quirk isn't going to do shit against this guy, but if man over here helps me out, I can probably do some damage. Like, it's cool, man. It's so cool that they're kids and they realize, I'm a child. I really have no grip on this quirk or this power that I have. I just know I have it.
Yeah.
So, help.
yeah. And in terms of storytelling, it's kind of every season is going, I guess, kind of also like Harry Potter. Every season is like a year of their schooling. And the two movies that have come out have been like on summer break. The movies are kind of like soft canon. They are canon, but also like they're the kind of canon that you don't have to refer to or care about.
Right. they're just fun to watch, honestly.
Yeah, especially the second one. You want to get into some of these other characters?
Okay. I'm going to run through the quick two that we have right now off bat, which is Midoriya and Kachan. Also Bakugo. Izuku Midoriya, his quirk is one for all.
It gets confusing because one for all is the power. One for all is All Might's power. But the main bad guy is a guy named All for One because his quirk is he could steal quirks.
Which is wild.
Yeah.
So his thing is All Might's power, which is One for All. Katsuki Bakugo, his is Explosion. He sweats nitroglycerin from his hands and blows it up.
He screams everything. He's a great character because when we first meet him, he is bullying Midoriya. And you're like, this guy's a bully. And then Midoriya goes to... Yeah.
He tells Midoriya... I just remember, he basically tells Midoriya to, like, jump out of a window and, like, break his neck.
Right.
In the first episode.
He gives Midoriya the nickname Deku, which kind of means, like, loser. Like, nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And we learn from flashbacks that they were friends when they were little kids. But once Bakugo got his quirk and Midoriya didn't have a quirk, Bakugo was like, fuck you, I'm better than you. I can fucking make explosions come from my skin. I'm going to be the best hero ever.
He got a complex and that complex, that ego, as soon as he got into UA, got cut down so fast.
Right. What I love about his character is he's constantly being aggressive and screaming at people, and most of his classmates are like, whatever, shut the fuck up.
Yeah, no one gives a damn, really. They're just like, that's just Bakugo. He just yells everything. We don't really care.
Yeah, he's just super, super aggro, and people are like, all right, well, whatever. And his superhero name is Dynamite.
Yes, it was originally Lord Explosion Murder, but we settled on that.
And his catchphrase is die. He just screams die when he comes at you.
He's the most murderous superhero I've ever met, and I love it.
Right.
Oh, goodness. Next one up is Ochako Uraraka. Her alias is Uravity, and her quirk is basically making shit float. It's zero G.
You're right. She could touch it, and then it doesn't have gravity. She could touch herself, and she can float. But she tries not to do that because it makes her sick and she throws up.
Right. She has, they actually explain it pretty well too. She has an equilibrium problem.
Yeah.
Where if she makes herself float, she gets extremely disoriented and nauseous.
Yeah.
And she throws up rainbows.
Yes.
The cutest thing.
She has a crush on Midoriya, and Midoriya kind of has a crush on her. They meet the first day of school. I think she's the first, other than Bakugo, who he had gone to junior high with. She's the first student in his class that he meets. But again, she's got this, at first I'm like, okay, she's a cute girl. But then we learn that her family's kind of poor and she wants to be a hero so she could support her family. And it's like, fuck, there's depth to all of these characters.
Right. Which, by the way, her family works in construction. With how much damage that goes on in this city, I want to know why you guys are poor.
Right.
I really do.
Right. Right. I feel like she would have to be on a team. She's good with other people.
She is a group hero. Like, she is someone that needs another individual to do the damage. Like, she can evade and be super evasive. She did that internship with, I forget his name, and I feel so bad. He's the gun hero. But she did combat training.
Yeah,
Which he found out she isn't a bad fighter. In close combat, I think she can handle herself. But if it's a group setting, I think she'd be kind of screwed.
Yeah. She's most useful in, like, when there's a plan to be like, okay, well, you make all of these rocks float, and then someone else will grab the rocks, or, you know, Baku will explode the rocks. Like, she's got a very useful quirk, but I don't think it alone is super useful.
Right. She'd be a rescue hero, if anything. Like, she'd be really good at, like, isolation and rescue. That would be her thing.
Yeah. She's got like a pink outfit.
It's a skin tight pink outfit.
Sure.
It was from the same place that Bakugo got his costume.
Yes. Yeah, the world is very deep. Like, they even get into like who designs all the shit, and even at UA there's three classes. There's the superhero class, there's the support class, which is like this science tech division where these kids are learning how to like make the gear for the heroes. And then there's general studies, which is like, I don't know why you would go to UA just to do general studies, but whatever. Right,
you're in danger 24/7. Why the fuck would you?
Right.
Like, I want to learn history, but dangerously.
Yeah. All right, next up, Tenya Ida, alias Ingenium, which he takes from his brother, because his brother was Ingenium. And then his brother is killed. No, his brother's not killed. His brother is paralyzed and retires.
Yeah, he's paralyzed from the waist down and can't use his quirk anymore. Ida's quirk is, in fact, him using... He has jets in his calf muscles.
Yeah. It's ridiculous, but it's awesome.
It's actually super-duper cool because it allows him to move at, like, superhuman speeds. And his drawback... I feel like we should be talking about the drawbacks.
Sure, sure.
I forgot about that. Because we talked about it with, like, I think we touched on it with Izuku. We didn't say anything about Bakugo. But Bakugo gets muscle fatigue. He basically is, if he uses explosions too much, his muscles, like, start to, like, go through, like, this fatigue where he can't, like, use his arms.
Bakugo also has the tendency to do the same attacks over and over again. He's like that dude when you're playing, like, a fighting game who just smashes buttons.
He's just spamming B at all times.
Yeah.
Ida's drawback is that his engine, just like a car, if he goes too fast too long, it overheats.
Yeah.
Don't know how that feels inside the body. I think that would suck, but I don't know.
It's so interesting because out of his calf muscles, you see like exhaust pipes that look metal. And it's like, how does this actually work?
And they retract and extend. Like, it's crazy. Like, he has full... it's like if you flex... I feel like he flexes the calf muscles and the jets come out. I was like, how does that feel? I'm just curious.
And he's the class rep. So he's kind of like the hall monitor. He's very, very by the book.
Where's your hall pass?
It takes a while for him to like warm up to his friends. But even like when everyone's excited, he's the guy who's like, all right, everybody, let's all calm down. Let's all calm down. Let's all get ready. He's sort of like, he's kind of like super, he never breaks the rules, except for once.
You want to do the next one?
Yeah.
Mr. Sparkle Pants over here.
Yuga, I don't know how to say it. Yuga Aoyama?
Aoyama.
Aoyama. Okay, so look, it wouldn't be anime if there wasn't a little bit of problematic shit in it. And this character is, I don't know. This character is supposed to be, I guess he's supposed to be gay. I mean, we don't see him with other guys, but his whole sort of like the joke of him is like he's sparkly and he speaks with a very sort of like fey accent. And it just, he kind of seems like a stereotype.
And he's borderline stalkerish. Yeah. On many occasions.
Right, right. He's outside Midoriya's room window, like leaving cheese for him.
I can't get over the cheese.
Yeah.
I can't get over that, like, that they made that his calling card for when he wanted, was like trying to be friendly. He would leave expensive, like, French cheeses. Yeah. Outside Midoriya's room to symbolize friendship.
Yeah. And I don't know. I mean, I'm a cisgendered heterosexual white male. So I don't know anything. So, I mean, I don't know. The character's definitely stereotypical. But I don't know if it necessarily would bother somebody. I mean, maybe a young gay kid would see this character and be like, that's awesome. I don't know. Yeah.
Maybe like, you know, someone that's super flamboyant and never sees someone of that nature in like an anime or a show that they watch, and they see Aoyama and they're like, yeah, yes, he's Sparkle. Like,
me. Yeah,
fuck yeah,
yeah. And he basically shoots a laser out of his stomach like a Care Bear.
And if he does it too much, he gets a tummy ache.
He gets a tummy ache, which is how he puts it. At one point, they do like a school festival. They like make a band. And they make him into a disco ball.
Yeah, they make him shoot a laser at the disco ball like repeatedly. And they go back to like they show him like it looks awesome. The band plays sick. There's so many good like shots that they put in there. And then they pan back to Aoyama, and he's just like ready to throw up or poop himself. Like it's amazing.
Yeah. All right, moving on. Okay, this next character. Okay, Toro. Hagakure. Oh, you're so much better than me at saying these names. This character, I have to say, is probably the most flimsy. It's kind of like one joke.
She's so lackluster, but I love her commentary just on random things.
She's invisible. We've never seen her. All we ever see is her hands, which are gloved. And then
feet.
Sometimes. Yeah, and her feet. So, like, a lot of times they'll just cut to her giving some commentary. She's kind of like, as of now, I mean, I don't know if there's going to be an arc with her where we learn a lot about her, but as of now, she's kind of just used as a joke.
Yeah, I would say that she does some pretty cool things. I will give her that. She is very good for infiltration and information gathering.
Yeah.
But in overall combat of the show, you don't really realize that she's there because she's just a pair of gloves.
Right. They've done nothing to represent her. She's really just gloves.
What's your superpower? Naked. What the fuck?
Yeah.
Oh my God. I don't know her drawback. She doesn't have one. Her drawback is that no one can see
her. Yeah, that's her drawback.
Oh my God.
So, next is Kurashima, Red Riot.
Oh, I love him. I love this man.
Do you really? Yeah, he's cool. I went from not caring about him to liking him a lot.
Right. He was just seen as like the overtly like masculine character, and then they gave you depth on him. And I was like, I fucking love Kurashima.
What's his quirk?
His quirk is Harden. He can basically harden his skin for it to be like stone, and he basically becomes like this ultimate like attack and defense.
Yeah. And he's sort of Bakugou's best friend.
Yeah, because I don't think anyone else can stand him in the show. Like Hiroshima just sees Bakugou as the man. Like that is he's a bit of a jerk, but he's a cool guy underneath. Like,
yeah,
Hiroshima sees the good in Bakugou.
Yeah, but they both have like a little bit of aggro energy. But Hiroshima is like actually a super nice dude.
Hiroshima's just crackhead energy. Like he's ready to go. Like, right. He's like, oh, Kiri, we're about to go training. He's like, training? Of course! And he's just ready for everything. And that's what I love about him. It reminds me of myself. If I'm having, like, a really good mental day, I'm definitely just, like, Kirishiba. I'm like, I'm ready for whatever you can throw at me right now. Let's go. Let's do this.
I feel like we get to really know him in season 4 when there's an arc where the heroes It's kind of like a siege arc. The heroes are trying to liberate this girl who's being kidnapped and abused. And we should say one of the coolest things about the show is that they'll be like, there are some filler episodes where it's just, you know, whatever story, which not filler in a bad way, but just whatever. But then there will be long extended action sequences that'll be 5-6 episodes, like these long arcs. And that are like pick up right when they left off. And we have a couple episodes of him fighting this really badass villain. And we get to see his backstory and flashbacks. We get to see that he was a kid with, I think he had blonde hair, and then he dyed his hair red because his hero was, Red something else. He's named himself in homage to that hero.
And it really shows, like, his dedication to wanting to be a hero. First of all, Kirishima hated his quirk as a kid. You'll see in his character design, he has a scar over his right eye. And that's from him activating his quirk on accident and scratching himself.
Yeah.
But he grew to love his quirk because of the hero he, like, emulated and, like, loved. So he was like, you know what? I'm going to be a hero just like this guy. I'm going to do this. I'm going to be the manliest man. I'm going to be the best hero because I have the best quirk.
Yeah. All right. Next up is Tsuya Asu, or Sue. Tsuya? But she says, don't call me Sue.
Yeah. No, she says, don't call me Asui. She says, call me Sue.
All right.
Tsuya,
yeah, she wants to be called Sue.
Tsuya Asui. Her alias, her hero name is Froppy.
Froppy. Adorable. I think she's adorable.
I think she's the cutest little thing. Oh my god. I love her.
She basically is a frog. She doesn't look like a frog, though. She's not one of these. She doesn't have a quirk where she looks exactly like the animal she is, although she does have a frog tongue, but she kind of looks like a person, a human.
Right. She's very human-like until her tongue and her hands. Her hands are huge.
Yeah.
And so are her, like, her feet. That's because, you know, frogs need to swim.
Right.
So she is humanoid with, like, frog-like attributes.
Yeah. She even says ribbit, which I think is awesome.
And in the Japanese version, it's adorable because it's a keto. So every so often, in between her sentences, she'll be like, keto, keto. I'm like,
yeah, yeah.
Oh, my God.
And, yeah, even in the show, it's like, her power, she's basically a frog. She does what a frog does.
She does frog stuff. Whatever a frog can do, that's her.
But her disadvantage is she's really great in water and around water, but outside of water, she's not that great. She's got to team up with somebody. Basically, outside of water, her biggest power is she can use her tongue to throw shit around, but in water, she can do a lot of shit.
Right. I was going to say her biggest drawback is that if she's in a cold temperature, she goes into a hibernation.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, that's true too.
She basically goes into like a hibernative sleep. If the room gets too cold.
Yeah. I just think she's a cool character too. Like in the dynamic of the, you know, the girls in the class, she's just the most herself. She's like, yeah, I'm Froppy. I'm a frog. I don't give a fuck what everyone else is doing. I'm not nervous about anything. I'm not worried about anything.
Froppy stays in her lane, dude. She's like, hey, yo, Froppy, can you come help us? Does it involve water? Not really. Go fuck yourself. I can't do anything.
She's great. And I love the name Froppy.
It, when I heard it for the first time watching it, like, that's adorable. Oh, my God.
Yeah. She's awesome. Oh, man. Shoto Todoroki.
Trauma boy.
He might. Oh, damn. I was almost about to say he might be my favorite character, but it goes between him, Midoriya, and All Might. Actually, All Might I love, but in terms of the kids, him or Midoriya. Todoroki he's so deep. He's so awesome.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot that goes into this character. His hero name, by the way, is Shoto. It's just his first name.
Yeah, he's very monotone. He's like, hey, what's up? My name? There's a whole like episode where they're like, you gotta pick your names. And he's like, my name? Shoto. Like, that's your real name?
that's your regular name, Todoroki. He's like, yeah.
He's name too. He's crazy powerful too. He's like up there with Bakugo is like probably the most powerful of the kids.
Yes. I would argue that Shoto is top three most powerful kids in class 1A.
Yeah.
He has half hot, half cold. Just for a reminder that he is Endeavor's son. Yes. One of Endeavor's sons. Oh right. My god.
And he fucking hates his father, Endeavor, the number two hero.
Yes, he despises the old man to the point where in the first like two seasons, he doesn't use his fire because he hates his dad that much.
Right. He gets the fire from his dad and his mother has the ice power, much like Elsa from Frozen. So he's both. He's got both, which is why Bakugo in the beginning calls him Icy Hot, which I think is hilarious. In the beginning, he's like, I fucking hate my father so much. I will never use this side of my body. I do not use my fire. Until Midoriya actually like convinces him, like, that's you. That's
him,
part of you.
Hypes him the fuck up and says, what? You ain't gonna use it? Well, I guess I'm gonna have to beat your ass. Like, Izuku, that's the most, like, dominant energy Izuku has early on. He basically tells Shoto, like, listen, if you're not gonna use it, because guess what? I'm gonna win this fight. Because that's not his fire, that's your fire.
Right. They're in the sports fest where they have to fight against each other. And they're fighting. So Midoriya wants to win, but he also, more than that, wants to inspire his classmate, Todoroki, to use his power to its fullest.
Right, and that fire is extremely strong. In case you're wondering how this happened, Endeavor had sex with his wife multiple times to get the perfect kid.
Yeah, I think, didn't they say he even picked his wife because he was trying to...
Yes.
He was trying to breed a child that would have both powers?
Mm-hmm. He was basically trying to make the perfect kid, and then like 5-6 kids later, Shoto came out. And was like, oh, cool. Now, and then basically just ignored his perfect creation. Yeah. Up until like he had his quirk. And then
it completely ignored his other kids.
Oh yeah, said fuck the other kids, they're not that important. And Shoto in the when we meet him, he has a scar over his left eye?
Yeah.
Left eye. That's because his mother is so traumatized that when she looked at Shoto's face when he was about like 7, saw the blue eye, which reminds her of Endeavor, who is super abusive and throws a piping hot thing of kettle tea at his face.
Yeah. And then she is put in like, I guess, a nursing home or a mental hospital.
Mental hospital. Like, yeah. She's like put there because she's so traumatized and can't function anymore.
Yeah. It's his backstory's dark for sure. And that's why you hate Endeavor at first, because you're like, wow, this guy's a monster.
Oh yeah.
Let's see.
Shota Aizawa.
Mr. Aizawa, their homeroom teacher.
Yep. His hero alias is Eraserhead.
Yes. He's another person who at first he's kind of a dick, and then you're like, ah, oh, he's a nice guy.
He's just I didn't think he was a dick at first. I just think he's just very like realistic about life.
He was a Hot Topic kid.
Yeah. yeah. He was just, as a teacher, he's very realistic. Because in the beginning, he notices like how Deku's body can't handle his quirk and how his body basically breaks every time he uses it. Yeah. He's like, listen, if you plan on, there's a scene in it where they're like doing like a fitness test. And he has to throw this ball. And Izuku was about to lob it with all of his strength and blow out his arm again. Aizawa's quirk is erasing people's quirks. So if he looks at you, your quirk doesn't work anymore. So he basically erased Deku's quirk before he used it and pulled him like with his scarf in. Was like, listen, if you plan on blowing out your arm past this test, you're no good in the field. If you somehow do this test right, I'll let you stay. But if you break your arm or break any of your limbs in like doing this, you're out forever until you can learn how to use your quirk.
Yeah.
And the drawback is dry eyes before I forget.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just that his eyes get really dry.
And he's there a lot because he's their main teacher. And at first he's kind of like doesn't like All Might because he's like, ah, fucking All Might, thinks he's the fucking best.
Yeah, whatever All Might is, like, to the public eye, Aizawa is the opposite side of that coin. He's like, I hate publicity. I hate the press. I hate, like, anyone trying to get an interview with me. I don't do that shit. I do my job, and then I go home.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not fun.
All right, you know what? Here comes the real... You want problematic? Here he comes. No. Minoru Mineta.
Fucking hell.
Mineta, man.
Him. Oh, my God.
He's a sex criminal.
He's a fucking deviant. Like, there's... I was just talking to someone because I have it going on for like, I run an anime class on Fridays for work. Awesome. And the joke constantly is there's no arc that you can write for Mineta that would redeem him at this point. He is so bad. Like,
yeah. And it's like, ugh, fuck. My friend Nadia, who's been on the show a lot and loves animation, she actually stopped watching the show because of Mineta.
it's fucking creepy, isn't it? Yeah. Like, I understand that, and I get that wholeheartedly, because he's such a creep. The only cool thing he does is in the USJ, and from then on, it's downhill.
Yeah.
He hit his peak, and then it goes.
So, Mineta is... He's a tiny little guy. He's the same age as the rest of the class, but he's, like, very, very little. And I guess that's part of the joke of it. They try to make him funny, but it doesn't... I don't know, it doesn't come... Maybe, like, 20 years ago, this would have been hilarious, but nowadays, everything about him comes off as bad. So he's, like, this tiny little guy, but his whole character is, like, I'm obsessed with women. I am so horny, and I will spy on the girls, and I will fucking creep on the girls, and I will be obsessed with females' bodies, and he's just a little fucking sex offender.
Like, the thumbs up shit that he was doing in, like, season one when, like, the girls were, when the girls were in their costumes. You know what? If that was all he did, I'd be like, you know what? You're a little fucking creep, but I can let you slide because you're not doing anything else besides that for right now.
Yeah. But then it gets worse.
He just, I don't know what about danger makes this kid hornier, but, like, it's like, he just gets the worse the more danger he gets in.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know... Yeah. It's not much to say about him. His quirk is weird too. His quirk is called Pop Off. And basically, like, he's got these, like, purple balls that grow out of his head, and they're sticky and they're super adhesive. So if he throws them and you get stuck to them, like, you're basically fucked. And, but the downside is if he does it too much, his head will start to bleed and hurt. And he calls it Grape Rush. That's what he calls his quirk, because they look like grapes.
It's so many things wrong with him that I just can't get past.
Yeah.
He does one cool thing, like one, no, not even cool, because that thing he did against Midnight, the Grape Rush, was, you know what, I'll give him points. But he only does one noble thing in the show.
Yeah.
One.
And in the first movie, there's like a diehard situation where they need to get to a higher floor than they're on. And they're like, you're the only one who can do it with your power. And they make him do it. And that's basically his best moment.
He's so bad. He's just so fucking bad. Yeah, I hate him.
He's the downfall of the show. Koji Koda.
Oh, Koda.
Koda. Yeah. What a sweet boy.
I love Koda.
Koda is a beastmaster, basically. He can talk to the animals.
He basically is shaped like a mountain. Like, he looks like a mountain, but he's a very, very, like, he's very soft-spoken, doesn't talk a lot, but in the show, it's called Anna Voice, where he can speak to animals and have them do anything that he asks them to. But he always asks the animals to do stuff in the most sweetest way possible, like he's asking for a favor.
He's adorable. He's the sweetest, most precious boy.
He's just so cute. I love him.
He is great.
His drawback is that his voice gets tired.
Yes. Right. We don't even hear him speak, I think, until season two. And right, the character's really like, oh shit, you speak?
Everyone, like, it's a big moment for the whole show, because everyone turns like, you talk?
Yeah.
Oh god.
He's awesome. He's awesome. So cool. Kyoto Jiro.
Jiro.
I'm trying to think, what's her superhero name?
I forget.
Her quirk is that her earlobes have extending audio jacks.
It's pretty cool because, like, she can extend them and, like, shorten them at will.
Yeah.
But they're always, like, dangling in the show.
It's all sound power. She could plug them into the ground and, like, shake the ground with sound. She could also just, like, plug them into a wall and eavesdrop on what's going on in the next room. It's all sound power.
She's really good for combat and information gathering.
Yeah. She's good to have on your team.
Yeah, she gets these tools. Like, first, it's her boots that have, like, speakers in them. So if she jacks into her boots, she can blast you with a sonic wave. And then later in the season, she gets an upgrade where she gets gauntlets.
Yeah.
Where she basically just shoots sonic waves at you. It's really cool.
She also is a musician, and music is her life. And she... At one point, you see all their dorms. It's actually a very cool episode where they show all their dorm rooms, and it gives you an idea how each character is. And her dorm room is just drums and microphones and guitars. And
it's a recording studio with a bed, honestly.
Yeah. And when they do the school festival, it's her idea to make a band, and she rocks out. It's pretty awesome.
It's so cool. Like, that scene alone makes me happy. When I saw Eerie smile, that made my heart sing.
Rikido Sato. Superhero name, Sugar Rush.
Ah, Sato, yes.
I wish I had this power.
Could you imagine just being like, I'm going to eat this cake and I'm going to be strong as shit for an hour?
He's got super strength, but he can process sugar into raw power. So he just has to eat junk food and he soups himself up. But he's also like a nice little cook. He cooks cakes and stuff for his friends.
Yeah, that's my favorite part. He's a baker. Like they make their quirks go with their personality so well, because he carries around a pound of sugar in his utility belt.
Yeah.
And he just, whenever he's in a fight, he's like, "All right, time to go," and just downs the whole thing and is just ready.
He's awesome.
I think the drawback is also stomach ache or like something like that nature. I don't know, or like the sugar high come down. Something like that.
He's kind of not attractive. At one point in the second movie, he saves this child and the child cries at his face. And he's like, "What are you doing? I'm saving you.
Why are you crying?" And he has like this really dude bro-ish voice too. Like they didn't make him for the looks. They made him just because sugar.
But it's this interesting dichotomy, because you think he'd be like this like juice head kind of bro, but he's like got on an apron and he's like, "I made some cupcakes for everybody."
He's a sweetheart. Oh my god.
Denki Kaminari.
Oh, Pikachu.
Electricity powers.
Oh man, I really hope they figure out how to do him. Like give him like something to help him out. So his power is electricity. He can shoot electric bolts at like high voltage and like basically paralyze people that are around him. The drawback is that he goes stupid. Like he fries his brain. Yeah, he fries his brain. He goes full on rubber hose animation and can only make sounds.
Yeah.
Like he can no longer formulate words.
So he's got like a ticking clock on how much of his power he can use. What's really funny is his friends always ask him to charge their phones. Like, "Hey, can you charge my phone real quick?"
And he's just like, "Are you sure?"
There's a scene where somebody, I forget who it is, somebody's like, "I don't want to be exploited for my power." And then he's like, "I don't know. People ask me to charge their phones pretty regularly."
he's the class phone charger. But he's also in the Baku trio, which is him, Kirishima, and Bakugo.
The three spiky-haired, kind of tough dudes.
Yeah, and they're the best of friends. They both see the good in Bakugo, even though he still screams at the top of his lungs.
Yeah, he's still basically a dick to them.
Yeah, but they're just like, that's just Bakugo. He means well somewhere.
Yeah. Hantasero, tape powers.
He basically taped Spider-Man.
Yeah. Tape can shoot out of his elbows. That's a perfect way to put him. Tape Spider-Man.
Yeah, he's pretty much just Tape Spider-Man. He's good for capturing.
With other people. He's got to be in a team. He's good like with Froppy.
Froppy and like if Mineta wasn't such a jack off, like that would be the most and like stickiest like situation of like capturing villains. That would be perfect, but yeah, Mineta is too much fucking useless.
Actually, there's a cool scene I think in the second movie where what's her name? I'm forgetting her name. There's so many names. The one who could make something anti-gravity.
Uraka.
She will like she's making these giant boulders zero gravity and he's using his tape to grab them and hit the bad guy with them.
Yeah. That pairing right there is perfect.
Yeah.
I swear they don't go to the same agency or like close to the same agency or work together at some point, like constantly as adults.
Let's see. Mina Ashato. Her quirk is acid. She could throw she's like she could spit acid. She's like the alien from Aliens.
Yes.
But she looks kind of alien herself. She has pink skin and pink hair.
And she has like black. The whites of her eyes are black and her eyes are yellow.
Yeah. Her pupils are yellow.
She's very like strange looking, like off rip. But then she like her personality kind of makes up for it. She's super duper bubbly and like a bit of a hothead sometimes in certain situations. But like she always means well.
Yeah. She was also childhood friends with Red Ryder.
Kirishima. They've been friends. They were friends since they were kids. And Mina is actually one of the ones that kind of convinced Kirishima to apply to UA.
Yeah.
Which I always find adorable. And they're like, they don't talk about it ever. Like they're in the same class, they're in the same dorm. Yeah. And they're like strangers to each other. even though like they've been friends for a while.
The show has very little like romance in it. There's very or and it's also very little sex. I mean, there's a little bit of fan service in the way some of the female characters are designed, but it's really not. It's a very sexless kind of show. There's really not a lot of sex. You've got Mineta being a creep.
Yeah, but like overall, there's not much of like the adults getting down. There's no like real like these.
Right.
Two
there's
are
no
dating.
Relationships in the show.
Yeah, everyone's like, I am a hero. This is my job, and yeah, that's what I do.
Yeah. What's his? All right, this one I can't say his name. Ojiro. Ohiro? He's got
Ojiro.
The tail.
Ojiro, yes, the tail.
That he's got power. A tail, but it's like muscular. It looks like a big python arm.
It literally, think of, I want y'all that are listening to this, I want you to think of the Rock's bicep and make it a tail. That's basically Ojiro's tail. And yeah. I don't think he has a drawback at all. It's just that
he can't do much. He's just got a tail.
Yeah.
He's a good fighter.
Amazing in close combat with like multiple people. He has a prehensile tail, but other than that, he's not really doesn't really got much going on.
Yeah. Fumikaze Tokoyami, who he's a little bit like the DC character Raven from Teen Titans.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, he is a bird. He looks like a bird. He's got a bird's face, but he's
bird
got
face, but human hands, like human everything else.
Yeah. But he's got Dark Shadow, which is this bird like shadow creature that lives in his soul and that can come out and do wild shit.
Which, when I really think about it, I thought about this while I was watching the show. How was it trying to put him to bed?
As a kid.
So the drawback of Dark Shadow is that if it's in too much darkness, it gets out of control. Like, it becomes more powerful than Tokoyami.
Yeah.
So I wonder when he was like, he got the quirk, he has Dark Shadow. Oh, Tokoyami, it's time for bed. And all you hear from them is...
Right.
Shit's getting thrown over, destroyed.
There's a scene in, I think, season 2 where they're in the woods and they're fighting. And at one point, he's like, I lost control of Dark Shadow. And that now we've got another problem.
Right. Dark Shadow legit is, it's a full forest, y'all. And he is ripping down trees. Anyone that's in like that radius of him is getting shit thrown at them or attacked. Like Dark Shadow is raw. Like it's Dark Shadow goes feral. That's the best way I can put it. Basically goes feral when it's too dark.
Right. And when if it's too light, he has more control over Dark Shadow, but Dark Shadow's less powerful.
Right. So it's you have to have the right amount of darkness.
Momo Yayorozu. Her character design is very fan servicey because you see her cleavage a lot, but it's also because she could her quirk is creation. She could like make shit from her body and it comes out of her chest, so that's like the quote-unquote story reason of why she needs her titties out.
They said we need to justify this.
Creation,
got it.
She's pretty powerful. She comes in clutch a lot. She'll make weapons. She just, it's interesting, she has to know how to make it. She has to, like, know what it is in her mind to make it.
Right. But she needs to know the composition of something to be able to create that thing, because when she uses creation, it's mass and, like, particles and stuff that she's using her body to create.
Right.
So she needs to understand the composition of something for it to be a reality.
And she can't do it too much, because... Yeah. And she much like Sugar Rush, she kind of powers up by eating because it's coming out of her body. So she needs to sort of power up and she'll hit a point where she can't make anymore.
Right. And her body just kind of, it's like muscle fatigue. It just stops working.
Let's see. Mezo Soji, who's, how do you describe? He's a weird one.
Soji's Duplo arms, right?
Yeah. And his face is covered, but he speaks from one of his arms.
So
it's a weird one.
So his thing is Duplo arms. He basically has six arms, but they're all connected by webbing. He can pretty much make an eyeball, a mouth, and I don't know what else he can make on the other parts of his extremities. But a lot of the time, if he's trying to like relay information, he uses his hand mouth.
Yeah.
Which is absolutely weird. At first. it's weird. It's very weird. And they always like in this, he's not seen often or talking a lot in the show, but when he is, he's not a bad guy or a bad character. He's very pure of heart and just like to the point with what he wants to say.
Yeah. Yeah. He's smart. that's kind of where he comes in group situations, is he's smart. He's good at planning shit.
He's like, okay, we got, because he can collect information extremely, fucking ears. I almost forgot. Ears, mouth, and eyes he can make on his,
yeah,
his tips. So,
so weird.
They had to draw the webbing so fleshy, too. They had to make you a little uncomfortable with it.
I know. I think that's all the students. You want to go to some of the villains?
Yeah, I really want to.
All right. Well, I guess so the big bad in the universe of the show is All For One. He has no face, really. He kind of looks, he's got a kind of Darth Vader thing going on. We can see the top of his head, but he's got no eyes. He is the one who injured All Might to the point where All Might lost his power. And he, like we said before, he can suck other people's quirks out. So there's not much to him. The other, I guess, main bad guy is Tomura Shigaraki.
Tomura Shigaraki, yes. His quirk is disintegration. If he touches you, you just fall apart, like your skin turns to stone.
Yeah, and he's the leader of the League of Villains, and he's like the main bad guy. He's the counter to Deku. He's the main, however this ends, it's going to be him against Deku.
Yes, it's going to be just like a straight up brawl between those two.
He has one of the most amazing designs, though, I've ever seen on a villain.
Oh yeah, the hand thing is like, it's a lot. Like, when you really break down his outfit, it's just black on black with red shoes. But then you add the hand design, it's just like, it makes you slightly uncomfortable because you're like, where did these hands come from?
Right. Are they just dummy hands or are they real hands? He's got like hands holding him, but like it'll be cut off at the wrist. So it's just a hand hold. And then he's got a hand over his face, covering his face. But it's just a hand. It's just like, think of Thing from the Addams Family covering someone's face. That's what this villain looks like.
It's so, he's so strange.
He's like, disturbing, yeah.
It's because, and especially he has this really like gravelly, high pitched voice where he sounds like he doesn't sleep and just, I play video games all the time. I'm a shut in. Like, he's meant to make you be like, no.
Right. I guess I don't want to go through all the villains. We could bring up anyone you want to bring up. I guess the last one I feel like we have to touch on is Stain.
Yeah, Stain.
Stain is the hero killer. He actually is interesting because he's not in it for very long. He's in it for basically one arc, but he has an ideological effect on the world of the show because he's a zealot and he believes in heroes. He actually thinks All Might is great, but he feels like most heroes just they're not pure and they don't really believe in heroism. They just want fame, and he will kill you. He's going to kill those people.
Right. And that's where like you as the viewer kind of start siding with the villain on like a viewpoint. You're like, he's not wrong. They don't have to die, but like, he's not wrong.
They publish his journal and he becomes the patron saint of a lot of villains. He inspires a lot of the villains that come after his ideology.
And it's so strange because that is like, that starts the increase of villainy that's happening. Stain's ideology touches so many people that they're just like, yeah, no, he's right. Fuck these people that are in it for just the fame. Let's purge them.
Yeah.
And you see it and you're just like, oh God, like, and they're like low level villains at the time. They really can't do damage on their own. But then villain gangs start popping up everywhere.
Yeah. I guess Overhaul. Should we talk about Overhaul?
Yes. I want to talk about Overhaul.
Okay. All right. So let's talk about Overhaul.
Overhaul, second most hated in my brain, but arguably the best, one of my favorite villains, like the best villain in my head.
Really?
Because, like, think about, like, he only had an arc, right? We only met him for basically an arc.
Yes.
But he got so much shit done. Think about how much damage Overhaul would have been able to do to Hero Society.
Right.
There's, like, thinking from it from that standpoint, he is a great villain in my eyes.
Yeah.
He had an extreme power that he can use at whim. It was wild. It was a wild time. But Overhaul's quirk essentially is just like Shigaraki's, where it's disintegration, where if it touches your flesh, it basically just falls off.
Yeah.
Villainy, like, I think he's one, like, I think he's like in my top three.
Well, as we wrap this up, let me say that despite the fact we just spent like an hour just dumping info on you, we actually have not even really, it's the tip of the iceberg. You have to watch it for yourself. You have to see how these characters interact. You have to see the tone of the show. You have to see the writing of the show. You have to see the intricate world of the show. We've really only given you a preview of what this is. Believe me, you're not walking away from this episode knowing My Hero Academia. You have to experience it for yourself.
You can't just listen to this and think like, oh, I get the gist. You don't. You need to actually sit down and watch it.
Right.
Like, it's a lot.
We're not giving it justice. It is, it's funny. It's exciting. It's inspiring. It's just great characters, great writing. It's just awesome. It's just fucking awesome. It just really is.
It's so good. I will preface, go watch it for yourself. Give the first like five episodes a try. If you don't like it, it's not for you. Cool. But if you're digging it, go for it. You're at a perfect time to pick this anime up.
If you like it, you're gonna buy episode five. You're like, oh, I'm into this show.
Oh yeah.
And the show is actually good with the information too. Like, a lot of times, like in a scene, they'll just be like a little miler on the screen that reminds you of a person's quirk and name. Like, so it's like, oh, yeah. Yeah.
They exist. Yeah.
In case you forgot, this guy does this. I don't know. Do you have any last thoughts before we wrap this up?
No, not really. I think we covered everything.
We did it. Anthony Montantine, thank you so much for coming back.
Thank you for having me back. I love it. I love this. It's so much fun.
It's so much fun nerding out over My Hero Academia. We end every episode by saying, go bye-bye.
Go bye-bye.
Plus Ultra.